Thank God for the privilege of being with you all again today. It's always a blessing to come back to Hope Church, to see you all, see a lot of familiar faces, and to see some new faces as well. I've entitled today's message, Do You Have Peace in Your Heart? And we'll be talking about that to some extent. You know, a Christian sometimes says, I received a blessing from the Lord. You know, it's quite common for us to say that. That was a real blessing. And it makes first perfect sense to a Christian to make a statement like that. But do you realize that it does not make sense to a non-Christian? A non-Christian may ask, well, you say you got a blessing, but how did you get it? Did it come by Australia Post? Did it come by Air Express? How did you get that blessing? You know, it may seem funny to us to have that kind of a reaction. But many terms that Christians commonly use make no sense to non-Christians. However, when we talk about peace, things are different. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ may say, I have peace in my heart. And a non-believer will often admit, I don't have peace in my heart. Non-believers often worry. They're scared. They're afraid of what the future may bring. And especially they're afraid of dying. Now, so far, we have considered two of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. We have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then it goes on from there. So, we looked at the subject of love last September. Some of you might remember that far back. And then we looked at the second subject, joy, in January of this year. And so today we want to continue with that by talking about peace, the third fruit of the Spirit. And as we talk about peace, I would like you also to note some of the following statistics. If you take, for instance, begin with the word love. Love or loveth or sometimes it's translated as charity in our King James Version, translated the Greek, you know, agape. The word love is used 403 times in the Bible. If you go to the second fruit of the Spirit, joy, and its variations such as rejoice and rejoices, that is used altogether 375 times in the Bible. But when it comes to the word peace, that is used 429 times in the Bible. So the word peace is used more than the word love or the word joy. So that tells us that the word peace is a very important word. And peace is a very important subject in the Bible. I don't usually like to talk about myself, but to give you a personal word of testimony, I remember very well, and this goes back to 1965, so some of you were not born back then yet, I realize. But back in 1965, when I entered seminary, I entered the main building there at Faith Seminary. I had heard about the school. It had been highly recommended to me by one of my university professors. But I had never been there in person. And I remember being somewhat apprehensive in going there. You know, what it's really going to be like. But when I walked through the door, I noticed that a great peace came upon me. It was the first time that I ever had that experience. And I knew that I was in the place where God wanted me to be. And I got two very wonderful things out of my years at Faith Theological Seminary. First of all, I got a very wonderful education, teaching of the Word of God. And the second thing I got there, and some of you may be aware of that, for some of you may not know that, but I also got a wonderful wife when I was at seminary, because that's where we met. So, but the peace, and I'll never forget that, how when I entered the door, it was a long corridor, and I just felt so peaceful. And that's the thing, as Christians, we can have peace. Now, the Bible mentions the God of peace. For instance, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, one of the verses that we have read, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And then in Romans chapter 15, now the God of peace be with you all. And in 1 Thessalonians, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then one verse in the Old Testament, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. So we know that our God is a God of peace. But that might raise the question then, what is peace? Now if you look at the dictionary, it'll tell you the first thing, peace is absence of war. There's no war, there's peace. But there is a second meaning as well. And that is that peace is a state of mental calm and serenity with no anxiety. So it is well to remember that aspect of peace as well. And when we talk about God being a God of peace, God has peace in his own mind. God is always at peace. And he's always at peace even in his thoughts of us who are sinful creatures. So God is always at peace. But there's one further reason why God is the God of peace. And that is because he makes it possible for mankind, for you and for me, to have peace with him. And so that's the second thing we want to consider. So after talking about the God of peace, we want to talk briefly about peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, in the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about it, the unbeliever has no peace. Drawing your attention to two verses in the book of Isaiah. First of all, it says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And then the second verse, there is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. In contrast, the believer has peace. We read that in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, many of you know that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And if you don't know what the Hebrew looks like, you can see what it looks like in Hebrew, the original language in which this was written. But you will also note that I have put the word shalom there two times. There's a reason for that. Because when you turn to Isaiah 26 and verse 3 in the Hebrew, you will find that it reads, "Thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom." So the Hebrew repeats the word shalom. And the translators then, how do you translate peace, peace? That is perfect peace. About which, of course, we sang also in our pre-service, Singspiration. Very appropriate. But peace, peace, perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. There's your Hebrew lesson for today. I won't give you any more Hebrew. That's enough. All right, so, but we see that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, because he trusteth in thee. And that's it. If you want peace with God, you must trust in him. And I'd like to give you the ABCs of having peace with God. The A, admit that you have sinned against God and ask him for forgiveness. We have all sinned. The Bible makes it very clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exception. Nobody can say, "Well, I've never sinned." I can remember one time interviewing a man. This happened in Malaysia. I was interviewing him for before baptism. And I asked him, "Have you sinned since you've become a Christian?" I said, "No, I haven't." And I knew that was not the right answer. But what he meant was, he hadn't committed any bank robberies, you know, or he hadn't committed adultery. Those are the serious things that he was thinking about. But when I pursued it a little bit further, he had to admit, "Oh yes, even since I became, I have sinned." We're all sinners. No exception. So it's well for us to remember that. So the A of coming to Christ is admitting that we have sinned. And the only way there can be forgiveness of those sins is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must ask him for forgiveness. And that brings us then to the B, A, B, C. B, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for you on Calvary's cross, and who rose again from the dead and is Lord. And if you go to Jerusalem today, you can go to what is commonly called the Garden Tomb. And in the Garden Tomb, you should see a picture, the next picture please, which has a picture of the Garden Tomb. And I remember we were privileged to go there quite a few years ago now, 1998. And, you know, as we were walking towards the Garden Tomb, I said, "Well, one thing is for sure. The tomb is empty. He is not here, for he is risen." And when we got there, there actually is a door. It was open, but they had a little sign on the door. "He is not here, for he is risen." And that's it. Now, whether this was the actual tomb or not, we'll have to ask the Lord when we see him. But we do know the tomb is empty. Christ rose from the dead, and he is Lord. So admit that you have sinned against God. Ask him for forgiveness. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for you on the cross, who rose from the dead and is Lord. And then see, call upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Call upon him. And when you call upon him, "Lord, save me," he will do that. It's sometimes been said that he is a gentleman, and a gentleman always keeps his word. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he will give you rest in your soul. He will give you the peace that you need. For indeed, each one of us can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Perfect peace. Shalom. Shalom. And so, we have looked at the God of peace, how we can have peace with God. But I also want to talk with you about the peace of God. Again, we see that in Philippians 4, the passage that we have read in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. And in Colossians 3, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So we have the peace of God. And think of it in this way. No God, no peace. Very sad. But if there's no God, there's no peace. But connecting to this, if you do know God, you also know peace. And that's the wonderful thing. If you know God, you know peace. And you cannot have the peace of God until you know the God of peace. So we have the peace of God. And this is how it works. Christ as Savior brings peace with God. But Christ as Lord brings the peace of God. You know, some people say, yes, he's good enough to be my Savior. But I don't want him to be Lord of my life. I want to run my own life. I want to live as I please. That's wrong. Not only should he be our Savior, but he should also be Lord of our life, living the way he wants us to live. That's why I say Christ as Savior brings peace with God, but Christ as Lord brings the peace of God. And the peace of God is the peace which God gives. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world gives and then takes away. You know, we're getting close to elections. And all the politicians, all they can do is promise, promise, promise. And who's going to pay for it all? You and I. Ultimately, isn't that right? We end up paying for all these promises. That's the promise of the world. But the promise of God is different. He says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He gives us his peace. As it puts it in the Psalms, Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law. So there again is that peace. In Colossians 3, we read, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We'll come back to that verse in a little bit. But on February the 16th, in 1989, the lives of a man, George, and his wife, Vera Bajinski, of Ontario, Canada, were changed forever. Started out as a normal Thursday morning, and then about 9:15 in the morning, the telephone rang in their home, There had been an accident, and it involved their son, Ben. So immediately they went out there, and as they approached the intersection of Adelaide, and it really was Adelaide Street, and Simcoe Street, near the high school where their son went, they could see the flashing lights of the police cars and the ambulance units. And Vera, the wife, noticed there was a photographer there taking pictures. And she looked at what he was taking photographs of. And she saw the largest pool of blood that she had ever seen. And all she could say was, and I quote here, "George, Ben went home. Home to be with his heavenly father." Her first reaction was to jump out of the car, somehow collect that blood and put it back into her son. And later she said, "That blood for me at that moment became the most precious thing in the world because it was life. It was life-giving blood. And it belonged to my son, my only son, the one I loved so much. The road was dirty, and the blood just did not belong there." And George, the husband, he noticed that the cars were driving right through the intersection, right through the blood. His heart was smitten. He wanted to cover the blood with his coat and cry, "You will not drive over the blood of my son." And then Vera understood for the very first time in her life one of God's greatest and most beautiful truths. Why blood? It was the most precious thing that God could give. The highest price that he could pay. Through God's amazing love, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And we have peace with God. God is the God of peace. And I have two questions for you to consider this morning. The first question, do you have peace with God? Have you trusted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life? Have you confessed your sins to Him? Now I know some of you can say, "Yes, I have." But some of you may not be able to say, "I have." Some of you may not have peace with God. And if that is you, I would plead with you. Come, confess your sins to the Savior right now, right where you're sitting, and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me." And when you do that, He will forgive your sins. And He will save you. So that's the first question I have. Do you have peace with God? And that's a question that only you can answer. And if you have peace with God, praise the Lord. If not, come to Him today. Don't put it off. Because as you know, tomorrow never comes. Don't be a procrastinator. It says later. Do it now. And the second question I have for you, do you have the peace of God? God is a God of peace. There's no question there. But if you have peace with God, do you have the peace of God? Have you placed Him first in your life, that you say, "From now on, Lord, not I, but Christ." Those words in Galatians 2:20, You know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not I, but Christ. Do you have the peace of God? I'm not sure how many of you have seen icebergs. It's one of those things that we don't need too many of us here in Australia. But if you go to the far north, you go to the far south, you may see some icebergs. Well, if you do, I understand that the only time I saw an iceberg, by the way, was looking out of a plane window. So I have seen iceberg, but not close up. But I understand about 1/9 of the iceberg is above water, which means that about 8/9 is under water. So you can see the picture here. Now, next picture shows with a little ship there. I don't think that this is the Titanic, but whatever ship you want to make it there, you know, you'd have to be pretty careful when you're sailing there near icebergs. But the thing is this, that the iceberg doesn't move much. There may be storms on top. There may be waves that will affect the ship sailing on top there. But because 8/9 of that iceberg is underwater, it stays pretty steady. It doesn't move much. It is just there. So when your life is hid with Christ in God, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When your life is hidden with Christ in God, the storms of life are powerless to take from you the peace that you have in Christ. There may be difficulties. There may be struggles. Life is not always easy. But there is still peace. We can have not only peace with God, but also the peace of God. And may God grant you his peace in your heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the God of peace. And that thou hast made it possible for us to have peace with thee through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. And Lord, when we indeed have peace with God, we know that we can also have the peace of God. And Father, we pray that there be any here today who have not yet peace with thee, that today they may confess their sins to thee. And I pray, Father, that they may not put it off, but even today they may come to trust Christ and him alone for their salvation. And Father, may each one who has peace with God also have the peace of God, knowing that when our lives are hidden with Christ in thee, that the storms of life are powerless to take from us the peace that we have in Christ. We thank thee, Father, for this. And may we indeed all have peace in our hearts. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.